Synopsis of articles. It is worth mentioning again here that these articles span a two-year period where my knowledge and understanding of how the 9/11 cover-up has been engineered has changed and grown. Some may think that many of these articles are too focused on individuals. This may be a fair criticism, but weighted against that, I felt it important to use specific information about and statements made by these people to clearly illustrate their role, whether intentional or accidental, in the suppression of knowledge about 9/11 and weaponized free energy technology. The articles are in roughly chronological order. All but the last three discuss how people have reacted to the evidence presented, that is, the evidence presented in brief in Chapter 2. Their reactions to the proposed explanations for this evidence, which are alluded to in the body of the articles, though summaries of these explanations for the evidence are discussed in Chapters 10 and 15, are also documented. Getting the most from the information here. In order to get the most from the information, you will need to access the Internet with a device which has the facility to play back MP3 files. All the referenced 9/11-related interviews are available for free download here, www.checktheevidence.com/audio/9/11. Also, reference is made to quite a number of emails, most of which can only be read in full on the website referenced above. It is important to realize that I have assiduously attempted not to quote anything or anyone out of context. The only way to ensure this is to make available the full text of the communications that are referenced here. In practical terms, that amounts to a lot of information, hence it is available on the website and not reproduced in this collection. The articles. The new 9/11 hijackers? This article examines the breakup of a research group called Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I was invited to join in late 2005. There was no membership fee and no prerequisites for entry to the group, apart from being associated with a university, which I was and still am, although only in a part-time capacity. It asked questions about the way certain evidence was discussed and why people in the group behaved and reacted the way they did. Dr. Greg Jenkins directed Debunking Energy, and Professor Judy Wood. This article examines a surprise midnight interview at the NPCC in Washington, D.C., which was headed up by Dr. Greg Jenkins of the University of Maryland. What was his intent, and why did he not ask permission before recording the interview, and why did he not have permission to use the room? Micronukes versus Thermite at WTC. Professor Stephen E. Jones and Bill Deagle, M.D., discussed the supposed use of thermite and or micronuclear devices in the destruction of the WTC. Why do they repeatedly get basic statements about the radioisotopes wrong? Why does Stephen F. Jones suggest people should irradiate themselves? A Touch of the Hidden Hand? In this article, we cover how Ambrose Lane, a popular radio host, was fired from his show on the same day that he was due to host a discussion about recent events and the possibility that a reuse of the directed energy weapon which destroyed the WTC could be disguised with the promotion of a fake Al-Qaeda nuke attack story. Going in Search of Planes, Revisiting NYC 9/11 First Responders Account. In this summary article, the accounts of New York Emergency Services first responders are examined primarily to try to find out what they saw at the time of the second plane crash at the WTC. A witness sample is taken and a determination made as to who reported hearing and seeing a plane. The results make drawing firm conclusions about the WTC plane stories much more difficult. A lengthy discussion of the steel in the debris of the WTC. This article seems to estimate, purely as an illustrative exercise, the total length of steel pieces that should have been present in the debris pile of the destroyed WTC. It attempts, again, to highlight the question, what happened to the WTC debris? Where did the debris go? Press release scientists see WTC Hutchinson effect parallel. This short article is a copy of the press release that accompanied the revelation of Dr. Judy Wood's study entitled Anomalies of the WTC and the Hutchison Effect. This study compared effects seen in the destruction of WTC and its aftermath with effects seen in independent Canadian research scientist John Hutchison's experiments. The revelation of this research triggered off an effort to both tarnish and discredit John Hutchison and Dr. Judy Wood. The Hutchison Effect and 9/11. An Ace in the Hole. This article documents the first stage of the reaction to Dr. Wood's Hutchison Effect study. It references specific podcasts and emails and how certain people seem to engage in an exercise of pernicious debunking, where, for example, researcher Ace Baker falsely claimed he had reproduced one or more of John Hutchison's experiments, then admitted he had actually engaged in making a fake video. 9/11 and the Hutchison Effect. The chips have fallen. This documents the reaction, mainly of Professor Jim Fetzer, to the Hutchison Effect study, and his support of the debunking tactics employed by other researchers. It documents his change in attitude to this author from a position of commendation to one of ridicule. His logic in discussing and explaining evidence related to the Hutchison Effect is probed and analyzed. This article documents the circumstances related to Jim Fetzer's thinly veiled threat to Dr. Judy Wood over her association with John Hutchison and his research. 9/11 and the Hutchison Effect, An Ace in the Hole, Part 2. This article documents the circumstances surrounding 9/11 researcher Ace Baker's $100,000 bet to John Hutchison to prove levitation of a wrench in an experiment to be conducted at John's apartment. New study by former professor examines Hurricane Aaron on 9/11. This is a copy of the press release which gave an overview of Dr. Wood's study of field effects, Hurricane Aaron, and the events of 9/11. Mike Rudin's BBC Conspiracy File. The producer of the BBC documentary series, Conspiracy Files, contacted Dr. Judy Wood, asking her to participate in an interview and/or a documentary about WTC-7. Read this thread of correspondence to see why I suggested Dr. Wood decline the invitation. 9/11 Truth Seekers and Campaigners. It's your lucky day. This article documents some of the official 9/11 truth movement's willful ignorance and negligence in discussing the initiation of legal action against NIST by Drs. Wood and Reynolds. The wider truth movement's willful ignorance of the evidence on which these cases are based is also observed. 9/11 and the Hutchison Effect, An Ace in the Hole, Part 3. This article documents attempted smears against this author and the subtle use of spin and misdirection to distract people away from thinking about evidence. Tactics of playing the man, not the ball, are again illustrated. Perception Management of 9/11 Evidence. This article documents how Jim Fetzer appears to be carrying out his earlier threat against Dr. Judy Wood. Alex Jones and September Clues. This short article documents the reaction, on air, of Alex Jones, Texas radio show host and alternative media anchorman, to the discussion of 9/11 video fakery research. It also includes related comments made by him and historian and author Webster Tarpley. 9/11 Directed Energy Weapons and HAARP, without referring to Dr. Judy Wood. This article documents the efforts of Alfred Weber and Lauren Murray on a show hosted by 9/11 Mysteries producer Sophia Smallstorm to deliberately confuse the discussion of what happened on 9/11 by stating they think HAARP is the only thing that could have destroyed the WTC. Even though they provide no direct or indirect evidence linking HAARP to 9/11, they conclude it must have been involved, and they do not mention the Hutchison Effect research, nor the presence of Hurricane Aaron. The Baker Effect, A Rift and Disruption System. This is a satirical piece based on an article by Mark A. Solis called The Hutchison Effect, A Lift and Disruption System. It attempts to highlight how the discussion of the correspondence of Hutchison Effect and 9/11 evidence has been deliberately attacked and muddled up on internet forums. 9/11 Mystery, Sophia Smallstorm, Fluorine/Fluoride, and the Destruction of the WTC. This documents Sophia Smallstorm's sudden introduction of her own theory, suggesting fluoride, or fluorine, was used to, quote, dissolve, unquote, the WTC steel. A discussion of the chemistry related to this is briefly made, and the point is again made how Sophia omits any discussion of the Hutchison effect and Hurricane Aaron evidence at any point, even though she had been made aware of it some months prior to her sudden introduction of this theory. Questioning active thermitic material discovered in dust from the 9/11 World Trade Center catastrophe. This article asks a few questions about the supposed peer-reviewed academic paper by Danish chemist Dr. Niels Harrit, Stephen E. Jones, and others. It was published in the Bentham Open Journal. Questions are asked about why they have not chosen to put this supposedly conclusive evidence into a legal framework and challenge NIST or their contractors with that evidence, as Drs. Wood and Reynolds did in 2007. Questions are also raised about the Bentham Journal itself. Free energy, 9/11, and weather control. Ongoing cover-up, muddle-up, and censorship of evidence. This article again highlights reaction to articles posted about the Hutchison effect and Hurricane Aaron evidence and its implication. Repeated instances of ridicule, misquoting, and misrepresentation of what has been said are illustrated. The mysterious $5,000 bet sent to Andrew Johnson. This article shows how a $5,000 bet was presented to this author if there was a successful legal prosecution in relation to the evidence that Dr. Wood has used to challenge NIST. Questions are asked about the motive of the person who was offering the bet and why he targeted someone like me with such a bet. This article includes the person's responses to illustrate the lengths they go to avoid discussing the actual evidence concerned. Press release. 9/11 QI-TAM case will have its day in court. This press release was issued to announce the court hearing for Dr. Judy Wood's QI-TAM appeal against NIST's contractors. Richard Dolan in the National Thermitic State. This article was written a few months after I had met and spent some time with noted UFO author and historian Richard Dolan and advised him of Dr. Judy Wood's research. His later actions surprised me and caused me to write and post the article. Wikipedia, censorship of 9/11 evidence and legal action. This article documents the ongoing censorship employed by popular internet information site Wikipedia. This started in 2007 and therefore should have been included in the first edition. Reincarnated WTC nuke theory and Dmitry Kalizov. This article documents the appearance and actions of a Russian nuclear explosive/demolition expert and a portion of the correspondence I had with him. He could not explain the effects seen in the evidence compiled by Dr. Judy Wood. AE 9/11 Truth and other sites again censor the evidence. This article documents how a supporter of the campaign group Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth was ostracized when he tried to raise awareness of Dr. Wood's research. Jim Fetzer as a disinformation op. This article includes a letter to an editor of a news website regarding the posting of an article by Jim Fetzer about Wikipedia censorship of his own postings. This is quite ironic in light of the evidence included here in earlier articles about Jim Fetzer. Is Richard Hoagland on a dark mission? Richard Hoagland, who owns www.enterprisemission.com, is a regular contributor to popular U.S. talk show Coast to Coast and may have been responsible for Dr. Judy Wood's appearance. He gave a presentation in Amsterdam in April of 2011, which featured much of the research of Dr. Judy Wood's for a period of about 1.5 hours. Why did he misquote some of it and claim that, quote, she was wrong, unquote? Results of scientific test carried out on AE 9/11 Truth. Another person had problems with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and his profile was edited to delete remarks about Dr. Judy Wood's scientific research. YouTube, copyright and censorship, the truth about free energy technology. My own YouTube channel was suspended for, quote, copyright violation, unquote. There seemed to be an oil industry connection to this. Manufacturing the apocalypse. This article covers more general conclusions about how things like the control of Hurricane Erin around the time of 9/11 would suggest that other advanced weather control and large-scale environmental control technology may be in regular use. A world of abundance or a world of scarcity, a call to awareness, a time to choose. This article summarizes other threads of research completed by this author. It tries to present an overall picture that includes a new view of the reality in which we live, and suggests the general form of a new reality we could create. Letters sent to UK authorities in 2008 concerning 9/11 and other evidence. This chapter includes two separate letters, copies of which were sent to over 100 UK police and military addresses, suggesting that other forces are at work and those forces have weaponry that makes nuclear arsenals obsolete. Additional theoretical consideration. There is, it seems, a coordinated and deliberate effort to obfuscate the truth about what happened at the WTC, with various people stepping up to the plate to present or even push theories which only explain a limited set of evidence. The best theories explain the most evidence, and this applies to both physical evidence and circumstantial evidence. I can confidently say that Dr. Wood's study and general conclusion explain the most evidence of any set of theories out there. Additionally, Dr. Wood's background is the most suitable of any of the people that have stepped out of the box, so to speak, to deal with 9/11 issues. It is worth mentioning yet another alternative WTC destruction theory, which several internet posters seem to have invested quite a bit of time in promoting. This is the, quote, nuclear demolition theory, supposedly employing, quote, micronuclear devices, or some variant thereof. In most all of the internet discussions about this theory, the actual devices themselves are neither specifically named nor described in much detail, e.g. number, used, sizes, power levels, yield, etc. are not mentioned. The problems with both the thermite theory and the nuke theory are that they cannot explain any of the evidence listed below. 1. There were no really bright flashes as the towers turned to dust. 2. There were no loud explosions as the towers turned to dust. 3. There was little or no heat in the dust cloud. 4. To my knowledge, there is no publicly viewable research on small, concealable nuclear explosives. 5. Nuclear explosives cannot account for the 24-foot circular holes seen in the buildings and in the street. 6. The nuke, or, quote, large explosive, or incendiary, unquote, does not explain the flipped cars and vehicles. 7. The seismic evidence indicates that most of the material that made up the building did not hit the ground in solid form. The photos from the immediate aftermath also show this to be true. Any, quote, explosive or, quote, nuke cutting or breaking the building into pieces would mean those pieces would have to have hit the ground. So, for those saying nuclear explosions did it, they aren't like any other type of nuke seen. They are almost silent, give off no light and almost no heat, and they made about 90% of the buildings disappear. When I have pointed out this list above, supporters of this theory have typically become abusive toward me and seemed unable to provide any further clarification or specific details about the devices used. Further information about this can be found on www.checktheevidence.com.